Father, we are aware of your presence. Lord, as we study today, help us to understand better about practicing presence. Lord, we're aware that lots of things are happening around the globe this morning. People in need, people hurting. It's our desire that even through the tragedy that they would see Christ. So Lord, would you work in some unique ways in order to reveal your glory? But specifically today, help us to understand the power of presence. Jesus, we love you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. This morning we kind of continue about our discussion about leading from the inside. And the idea of leading from the inside, we talked about last week. We talked about humility and the importance of exercising that. We talked about shared responsibility and subtle pride. Today, I want us to talk a little bit about this whole concept of presence. And for the leader, for the influencer, now you'll remember that everyone in this room is a leader. Everyone in this room is an influencer. Because there's somebody that you have influence in their life, and so that makes you a leader by the fact that you have opportunity to influence. And so what I want us to do is to understand better today and perhaps even apply, practice, become more aware of God's presence in us. Because it's essential, it's foundational that the leader, that the influencer understands and practices Christ's presence in them. It is the game changer. It is the deal maker. For the one that follows the leading of the presence of Christ in them. Presence is huge culturally. In terms of knowing that one is in proximity to another or one is connected to another. This whole concept of presence is lived out in so many ways. In fact, most of you came in this morning with one of these. Well, maybe not exactly like this, but something like this. It does this kind of thing. In fact, some of you may want to turn your ringer off this morning while I'm thinking about it, and make sure mine is. Yeah, we're good. But with this, you can text. You can know that there's somebody on the other end that's within proximity to connect with you, even though it's a few words on a screen. Think about social media, Twitter, Facebook. Instagram, all kinds of different ways in which we practice presence, in which we connect in proximity. How many of you are all on Facebook? At least once a year, okay? Twice a year, okay? Yeah, I love when, you know, every so often I'm on there and I'll check, and I'll just, you know, of my friends and stuff and pictures. I keep thinking, wow, they are really looking old. Have you ever done that? You know, you think about like, your friends put pictures up there. They just look so old. But it's fun to watch those magical moments where they're with family and they're on vacation or everybody's gathered together. There's a friend that I was in high school with, and their parents just celebrated like their 60th wedding anniversary, and I know her mom and dad, and I was thinking, wow, that's cool. But as you look through some of those pictures, for some of us, it gives you this idea that you're kind of there. It puts you in proximity. It puts you in connection. There's this practice of presence that goes on through social media, through different avenues. Think about FaceTime. Think about WebEx or GoToMeeting or Skype. Any of those apps that allow us to talk face-to-face, though we can be 1,000 miles away. It's this connection, this proximity that culture thrives on. And while it's significant today, I think it's been a significant factor throughout Scripture. And specifically as it relates to Jesus and his connection with us, or Jesus and his proximity, Jesus and his presence. Think about some of the things in the New Testament. Think about some of the last words that Jesus gives us. I am with you always. This idea that I'm present with you. Think of the writer of Hebrews as he recalls God saying, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. This idea of presence, of connection, of proximity. I think of where God told Isaac that I will be with you in Genesis. He tells Jacob that I am with you. He tells Joseph, I am with you. Over and over again, we read through Scripture this proximity, this presence, this connection that God's people have with God. And you have that same connection today. As a Christ follower, as one that's placed their faith and trust in Christ, Christ lives in you. The Spirit resides in you. There is a connection, there's a presence, there's a proximity of Christ and you. And that's important to realize and to be aware of and even practice. There's a great, great narrative where Moses practices the power of presence with God, and it's recorded in Exodus chapter 33. And part of the narrative, I think it's important to see the connection that Moses has with God, the proximity and the presence that he celebrates with God. Because as you look at verse 11, right before verse 12 that we're going to look at today, you're going to find that Scripture recalls that Moses and God conversed face to face, mouth to mouth, as it's translated. You have to realize that the person we're talking about, presence and practicing presence, is the guy that sat on the mountain and listened to God speak. He knew God's voice audibly. He knew God's presence personally. And so this comes from a man that understands the power of presence and the importance of presence and why presence is so significant to the leader and why it has to be practiced. So let's look over in verse 12. Of chapter 33, verse 12 of chapter 33 in Exodus. And here's the story. And all the while, I want you to think of this leading from the inside, this leading from the heart of presence and practicing presence. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you shall send with me." Now that's not quite totally 100% accurate and true. Because God has told Moses that I'm going to send an angel before you. The reality is Moses didn't want an angel. He knew God and he wanted God. And so there was no substitute that was going to work. And he continues on, "Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me your ways, for I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." And he said, being God, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." The idea of rest is completion into the promised land. Verse 15. And he said to him, this being Moses, says to God, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, please show me your glory. And he said, I will make all of my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and show mercy to whom I show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock. Anybody remember that hymn, The Cleft of the Rock? Yeah. Some of you going, what? Yes, sir. There was one. And I will cover you and my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take and remove my hand, and you will see my back. But my face, it shall not be seen. Moses' conversation, Moses' interaction here speaks to us about the practice of presence and the significance of presence in the leader's life, in the influencer's life. And there are four statements that come out of this passage that speak about this practice. The first one we see is illustrated very well in verse 13, where he says, now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me your ways. It's as if Moses is calling out to God, Lord, where are you leading? Lord, where are you leading? I want to know where it is that you're leading. Now, it's interesting, the word ways can be translated two different ways. One, it can be translated as instruction, that I would give you my instruction, I would teach you instruction, that God would speak to us about truth, and we'd gather truth, and we would apply truth. So the idea of ways can mean truth or instruction. But the idea of ways also can be translated to be journey or route or road. In other words, what Moses is saying is, Lord, show me your way. Where are you leading me? Lord, I want to know where it is that you're leading. Now, what he speaks about in verse 13 is really the benefit of following the leading, the benefit of walking in the way, because he says that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. The idea is knowing you, knowing your leading, knowing your purpose, knowing your direction, knowing your instruction. Lord, where are you leading me that I may know that? Because I need to know that, because I want to live out in that leading. Because when I live in the leading, when I live out in the purpose, when I live out on the road, when I live out on the journey that you have planned for me, that is where I experience and know favor. Not because I have been so much obedient, but the fact that this is the plan and the purpose you have set for me. And so Moses knows right now the importance for every leader, every one of us in this room. Where is it that God's leading me? God, where are you leading us? We want to know you and to live in your favor, to live in the leading. Do you know how sweet that is? When you're living out in the plan, when you're living out in His leading, when you're living out in His power, that's the sweet spot. Now, it may not be that everything's great. It may be that you have to risk. It may be that it takes a great deal of faith. It may mean that, boy, you have to step up your trust meter a little bit. But the reality is, when you live out in the leading, you live in His favor. So Moses creates this conversation, Lord, where are you leading? But then he also asks, or really pretty much makes two statements to God. He asks God a question, and then he makes two statements about the question. In verse 15, he says, and he says to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. If your proximity, if your connection, If your presence does not go with us or accompany us, Lord, do not cause us to rise up from here. The idea is, Lord, I don't want to go any place where you're not. I don't want to be anywhere that you're not. I don't want to go on any journey, any road, any route, any place that you're not. Because I want to go back to living in the favor, because I want to live in the leading. So do not let us go someplace that we're not supposed to go, because we do not want to be anywhere that you're not. Do you know that's practicing presence? That's desiring His presence and His leading more than anything else. And remember, this is the guy that knew what presence was. He knew about being face to face. He knew what it was to be in conversation. He knew what it was to hear His voice. And he did not want to be in a place where he did not hear His voice. He didn't want to be in a place that he did not sense His presence. Oh, how we do not want to be in a place where God's not. Oh, how we don't want to go into a place where He doesn't lead us. It's practicing presence. But there's something else that comes out of verse 15 to me. And it's this statement that I want to walk the journey with you. Lord, I want to walk the journey with you. I don't want to go by myself, but I want to walk the journey with you. That we would abide, that we would have conversation, that you would be with me. Because if your presence doesn't go with me, do not cause us to rise up from here. Do not lead us. Do not cause us unless you're going. But there's one more statement, and this really comes out of verse 18 and following, where Moses says to God, "Please show me your glory. Please show me your glory." In other words, what Moses is saying is, Lord, I desperately want to know you. I desperately want to know you. The idea of showing God showing His glory is cause me to see, God, your reputation. Cause me to see your attributes. Cause me to see who you are. Let me see you work and move. Let me learn something about you that I didn't know before. Let me grow in the knowledge of you and understanding of you. Let me grow in the knowledge and the wisdom of what you have for me. This idea of, Lord, show us your glory. Let me see your reputation. Let me observe it. I think, what a bold statement. Talk about presence. Talk about proximity. Talk about connection. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you better than I've ever known you before. I want to know all I can know about you, because I desire your presence. To practice your presence. And I love the fact that God says, I'm going to show you everything good about me. He says, I'm going to come by and I'm going to show you the goodness of me. There's a place where I am that you're going to stand on the rock, and I'm going to place you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to hold my hand as a sense of protection. And when I pass by, you're going to be able, as I remove my hand, you will see my back. And I will show you something about me that I have not shown you before. I truly believe that when we call out to God and we say, God, I want to know you, God reveals something new of Himself to us. Now, we just may be slow learners and everybody else knows it, but it's new to us. As we experience His presence, experience His word and its application in our life. See, when I look at Moses, I think here's a guy that practices presence. Here's a guy that understands the significance of connection, that understands the significance of proximity of God. And this is fundamental. This is foundational for all of us that lead, for all of us that influence. That we must lead out of this practice of presence. We must lead out of this awareness of His presence. We must lead out of proximity, out of connection. That we would live in the leading. That we would desperately desire to live no place but where He's leading. That we would desperately want to know Him and to abide in Him and have Him walk with us. And I don't want to be anywhere where He's not leading. I don't want to be doing anything that He's not leading in. Y'all there with me on that? So what does it mean to practice presence? What does practicing presence actually look like? Lots of thoughts, lots of direction that you can go with this. But when I think about the value of presence and valuing presence, valuing proximity, valuing connection, what does it look like for us? Maybe it's about the conversation. And when I think about conversation, I think about Moses and God and having this conversation, but there are times where Moses speaks, but there are times where Moses is quiet. See, when I think about conversations with God, it's not about telling God everything we want Him to do. It's about being quiet long enough to listen. When I think about conversation, I think about prayer. And you know, sometimes we think of prayer as work, but prayer is really a gift. We think about passages that tell us to pray constantly or continually. Oh, man, that's hard to do. But think of prayer as a gift. That we have the opportunity to converse with God. See, when I think about spiritual formation and learning and hearing God's voice, I think about the power of Scripture and the power of solitude. As we read Scripture, we contemplate, we consider it, we think about what is its application for its current setting, what is its application for where we are today, and the application of my life. And to be silent enough, long enough to listen to how God applies that to us. It's part of the conversation. Be still and know. I think about learning. Learning is an aspect of practicing presence. As we grow in Scriptures, we learn more about Him and who He is and how He's leading us. I think about following. Following is a part of really valuing presence and practicing presence, following God and His leading and where He's leading us. Community is another big aspect of that. That's doing life in community and fellowship with other believers, other Christians, because as God speaks to others as well, and we can be encouraged by the message that others share with us. I think of value of presence as being serving. Do you realize that serving is actually the ultimate act of worship? And so when you think about serving, you're practicing His presence because you're leading out to where He's leading. You're following where He's leading. I think about the relationship, and I think about Moses and God and the relationship that they shared, this unique relationship of conversation that they shared. But we too have a relationship with God through Christ because of what He has done. I think about experience, the opportunity of as we walk and live in the favor of His leading, and the experience of that. But maybe the word knowing is a whole other aspect of practicing presence. And I don't want to get here. I don't want you to interpret this as being something that's mystical, because I don't like that word. But I think there's a knowing that comes in the presence. And there are indicators that God's teaching us. There are indicators that He's with us, that He's leading us. And one of those indicators that I think is so vividly portrayed in Scripture is this walk to Emmaus, this idea these guys are traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And as they're traveling along the road, they're discussing, two guys, about what's happened. Jesus comes into the conversation as kind of somebody that catches up to him along the road. They do not recognize Jesus because this is post-resurrection. And all the while they travel, all day long, they're in this conversation about Scripture and about what must happen, about what Christ did. Jesus is going to go on, but he's invited to dinner. And so they have dinner together. And as they're eating, there's something about Jesus that they recognize. And immediately upon recognition, Jesus is removed from their presence. But in Luke 24, I love how they phrase as they're talking to each other. These two that have spent the entire day with Jesus, listening to Jesus speak, practicing presence, they said to each other, notice this in verse 32, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road? Some of you thinking that's heartburn, that's like Tums 1000 material, but that's not it. That's the knowing. That's conviction, that is truth, that is grabbing a hold of a heart and a mind. Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us on the road and while he opened up the Scriptures to us? See, that's what happens in the presence. That's what happens in the conversation. That's what happens in the learning. That's what happens in the following, the community, the serving, and the relationship, and the experience. There's this knowing that comes about. This knowing as our hearts burn within us as we spend our time with Christ, as he leads us, as we literally live in the leading. And as he opens up Scriptures to us, our hearts burn. We know. We know. This morning, I want to challenge you to practice presence, to practice proximity, to practice awareness, to practice connection. Because everyone in this room is a leader. Everyone in this room is an influencer. And you know what is the marked difference in the effective leader? Some of you thinking, okay, now is he going to go back to like Leadership 101? He's going to go open up John Maxwell or Greenleaf or somebody like that? No. The effective leader is the leader that leads from the heart of presence. That's it. The effective leader is the one that leads from the heart of presence. It's about leading from the inside, from the presence of Christ. It's a heart that asks the questions, where are you leading me? I don't want to be anywhere where you're not. Will you walk with me? I want to know you. Because I can make you a promise, very few that I can. But when you ask him, he'll lead you. God will never steer you wrong. Now you may wonder about the scenery along the way, but he will never steer you wrong. You do know that God's Spirit dwells in you, don't you? As a believer, as a Christ follower, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? God's Spirit lives in you. Christ is in you. He dwells, he lives in you as a Christ follower. The question is, what do we do with that? What do we do with the dwelling? Do we keep him in his room? Put him meals under the door? Or do we surrender the whole dwelling? You know, there's another passage where Paul speaks about influence and presence and awareness and connection. It's found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Now some people want to use this verse for one thing when it really has nothing to do with that. In verse 18, it says, and do not get drunk with wine, Some of you are saying, well, I don't drink wine. I drink beer, so I'm okay. Okay, but yeah. Do not drink. You can laugh. It's okay, okay? Do not drink. Do not get drunk with wine. Some of you are like, oh, he said that. I can't believe. No, I'm not giving you permission. I'm just saying. But yeah. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Debauchery sounds pretty bad. And some of us, like, we stop there, and we'll go to preaching on that. But we forget the whole meaning of the verse. You cannot preach that you should not drink from this verse. Can't do that. This is about not getting drunk. The idea is not being influenced with wine. Not being influenced with something else external. Don't let something else external influence you. Instead, because God's Spirit dwells in you, as we find out in 1 Corinthians 3, be filled with the Spirit. Now, the idea isn't that you're like being, you know, you have to fill up the jar every time you turn around. But the idea of filling here is the influence, that you would be influenced by the Spirit. That you would be influenced by His presence, that you'd be influenced by the awareness of His presence, by His proximity, by His connection, that you would be influenced there. For a leader, for all of us in this room, because we're all influencers. The Spirit of Christ lives in you. Yield to the Spirit of Christ. Let Him influence you. Ask those questions. Lord, where are you leading me? I don't want to go anywhere that you're not. I want to walk with you and alongside of you. I want to know you more. That is the heart of presence. That's the heart that seeks an awareness of the presence. That's the heart of proximity. It's the heart of connection. It's the heart of the most effective leader. The leader that practices presence. I don't know if you remember just a while ago when we started, we read Exodus 33, verse 16. And I think it has to be said here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us? How should we be seen as having favor in your sight? Is it not in the fact that you go with us? Because if you go with us, it is because you go with us that we are distinct. I and your people from every other people on the face of the earth. Do you know what makes you distinct from every other leader, every other influencer? It's the presence of Christ in you. It's practicing the presence, the proximity, the awareness of His presence, the connection that makes you distinct. I want to be distinct. I don't want to be one of the crowd. I want to be distinct. I want to be the man that asks the questions. Well, where are you leading me? I don't want to go anywhere that you're not. I only want to walk with you because I want to know you more. May each of us be distinct leaders as we follow Christ. Would you pray with me, Father? Help us to practice this thing called presence. Help us to practice what it means to be aware, to be connected. Lord, help us just to ask these questions. As Moses demonstrates presence for us. Lord, we love you. Lord Jesus, have mercy on us, your children, your people. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Everyone, everyone.